another one of those days, has it?
Oh, poor love.
Yes, days like today make Abercrombie seem like a haven from the storms of life.
Well, never let it be said I didn't warn you.
All right, all right. I can do without your worldly wisdom.
Oh, dear, you are in a frayed mood, aren't you? What's wrong?
Oh, let's go and have a drink and I'll tell you.
Sounds like a good idea.
Oh, that's better. They may still be messing about, but at least we can't hear them. Scotch?
What?
I said you want a scotch. Just about had enough of this cider business.
But we can't afford to buy scotch.
Look, do you want a drink or don't you, darling? Because I'm not in the mood to get into an argument about petty economies.
Okay, I do want a drink. So, what happened?
Oh, it's that maddening ex-wife of mine.
What's she been doing?
Well, she came round here at lunchtime. I'll give you one guess what about.
Homework.
Christmas.
Oh, God, not again.
She says Jeremy asked her if he could spend Christmas with them. You are, darling.
Thanks.
Cheers.
With a little prompting from her, no doubt.
Oh, no doubt.
So what did you say?
Oh, what I said all along. That with us he'd have a proper family Christmas. And she got extremely nasty about it.
What did she say?
No, she threatened me with the courts.
Oh, good heavens. She is going over the top, isn't she?
She as good as said not only would Jeremy prefer to spend Christmas with them, but he'd prefer to live with them all the time. Of course, I got on to the solicitor the moment she left, and he says she hasn't a hope of getting the court order changed. But still, it's very worrying, coming so soon after what Father told us. You don't suppose Jeremy's told her how he feels, do you? That he wants to live with them?
I don't know. He may have done. Or she may have suggested it to him. That's much more likely.
Yes. Anyway, it seems that the courts don't generally take into account a child's wishes till he's about 11 or 12. They're considered too easily swayed before then.
Oh, I see.
But, you know, I just don't like to think that he's living with us and all the time wishing he was with Matt and Lynn. I want him to be part of our family.
I'm sure he's not wishing he were with them all the time, darling. I expect he thinks it sometimes. But so what?
Well, I suppose so. Of course, the effect it has on me is it just makes me feel absolutely furious with Jeremy.
Well, that is a bit counterproductive.
Yes, I know. I realise that. That's what's so frustrating. But I really felt like walloping him this evening. Do you know, he even told me my puddings weren't up to Rob's.
What'd you give him?
Oh, some sort of instant thing.
Well, I do see his point. But still, Lynn really has got a cheek, hasn't she? When you come to think of it.
Yes, she has.
I mean, it's all very well her saying she'll have Jeremy. He's a big boy now. He can get himself about, and he's at school 5.5 days a week. But she didn't want him when he was tiny, did she?
Ah.
When he needed a lot of looking after. You're the one who had to really bring him through the tricky time.
And you, darling. Couldn't have done it without you.
Oh, thank you.
No, really. You know that. I couldn't.
Well, anyway, one thing we can be absolutely certain of, if Jeremy were really unhappy with us, he wouldn't be just making occasional remarks about it. He'd be showing it in other ways, doing badly at school and behaving badly generally.
Yes. Yes, of course he would. You're right. Darling, you're so sensible.
Oh, my goodness, the compliments are flying tonight, aren't they? Better be careful, otherwise I shall be wishing that Lynn would come round more often. Oh, by the way, how is Arthur?
No, Arthur, nothing much the matter with him. He sent me out for lobster bisque and cheesecake for his dinner.
Well, it doesn't sound as if he's exactly at death's door.
Oh, far from it. Just didn't feel like going out to do his own shopping, that's all. Do you know, he sent me all over Hampstead looking for things I could perfectly easily have bought in one supermarket.
Poor old you.
Yes. Well, he needn't think I'm going to do that every day. He can go out and get his own lobster bisque in future.
There's a hell of a long queue, Sophie.
Yeah, but they may not all be queuing to see The Black Hole. There are 4 cinemas in this building.
We're never going to get in, you know.
Oh, come on, we might. You never know. Hey, move up a bit.
Okay.
Oh, Lord, I hope we don't have to wait too long. It's jolly cold.
It starts at 9:15, so it can't be more than 20 minutes.
Yeah. Rob?
Yeah?
You know the other evening when that bloke rang up and asked for me and then rang off?
Oh, yeah.
Are you absolutely certain you didn't recognise his voice?
Yeah, I told you.
Yes, I know you did, but, well, I've started getting funny phone calls at home, too.
Have you?
Yes. And whoever it is just rings up, holds for a few minutes, and then rings off. I mean, he never says anything.
Oh, gee.
And I think it's Bill who's ringing me.
Bill?
Mm-hmm.
Well, why on earth should Bill want to ring you like that?
I don't know, except that I think he probably got a bit of a shock when he ended it and I didn't run after him.
But if he wanted to talk to you, surely he'd just ring up and talk, not hang up.
No. You see, he's a funny fella, Bill Ashton. He's very two-sided. Don't know, I told him that once. Never really wanted me, and yet he could never quite bring himself to let go.
But he has let go, Sophie. He's ended it.
I'm not so sure. I mean, look, there aren't many people who know I work at Pryor's and know my home telephone number as well, because I'm not in the book.
Look, whoever it was who rang the other evening, it definitely wasn't Bill. I'd recognise that accent of his anywhere.
Ah, but maybe he disguised his voice.
Sophie. Look, you're just imagining all this because it's what you want to believe. You want to think Bill's still interested in you.
Yes, but who else can it be? Hardly anyone knows where I live.
Well, what about the other bloke, the one you used to go out with?
Rupert?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it wouldn't be him. I don't know. I suppose it could be.
Yeah. Anyway, when do these phone calls at home start?
Just today, but there have been four of them.
Have you given your phone number to anyone over the weekend? Any of those customers you chat up in the restaurant?
No. If I fancied any of them, I would, but I don't.
It seems odd he starts by ringing you at the restaurant. I mean, there are always other people there. You're not really very likely to get rattled if there are other people with you, are you?
No, but if it is Bill, then that would explain it. He doesn't want to rattle me. He just...
Yeah, what?
But he just... Oh, look, I don't know. I mean, check on my movements, hear my voice. I don't know.
Sophie, you're kidding yourself. I don't suppose Bill gives a hoot what your movements are.
Well, I'm not so sure. People can be very odd.
Come on.
Here comes the busker's sidekick.
Look how much they make.
Why, thinking of taking it up?
You're joking. Enough on my plate as it is.
Hey, come to think of it.
What?
I did give my phone number to someone this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, old Slobber Chops at the Wagoners.
Who?
Donald, you know, the new landlord. He's always chatting me up. He wanted me to go out with him this evening, but I cried off. I just couldn't face the thought of it.
Why not you give him your phone number, then?
Oh, I don't know. It just seemed rude not to.
You are a silly cow, Sophie, giving your phone number to men you don't even fancy.
Oh, I know I am. I'm hopeless. Maybe I should get the exchange to monitor my calls for a while.
Yeah. Oh, good evening. Is Debbie Franks in?
Yes, sir. Debbie?
Hello. Who is it? Chicken. Come in.
Oh, well, actually, I came round to see if you'd like to go out for a drink.
Well, we're just about to eat. Why don't you come in and have some supper with us?
Oh, I've eaten, thanks.
Well, come in and watch us eat, then. Come on. Come through. Oh, it's thanks. So nice to see you. This is Carol.
Hi.
And this is Roger. My friend, Dickon Firth.
How do you do?
Hello.
Well, sit down, Dickon. Oh, you can move the nappies off the chair.
Oh, thank you.
You don't have to be embarrassed because she's feeding the baby. She does it in front of everyone.
I'm not in the least embarrassed, Debbie. Do you want to eat? Oh, no, thank you. I've already eaten.
Knowing you in that pokey room, you've only had a bacon sandwich. Go on, have something to eat.
What is it?
Henbane and deadly nightshade soup. No, it's beans with vegetables and eggs and stuff mixed in.
It's always beans in one form or another.
Yeah, unless it's brown rice.
Oh, well, shut up, the pair of you. It's a very healthy diet we eat here.
I say, it does smell rather good. Perhaps I will have some.
Right, pull your chair up then.
Oh, thank you.
There you are, Debbie.
Oh, it's all.
Do you want me to keep yours hot for you, Carol?
No, it's all right. I can manage with one hand.
Vince is still out. What time's Tom coming in?
I don't know. He's gone to see that lot that run the health food co-op in Highgate.
Well, do I keep any grub for him? That's all I want to know.
No, he'll probably eat over there.
Right. He had better have. There's none left.
I say, this is very good, actually.
I'm glad you like it.
It's really comfortable here, isn't it? It's nice and cosy.
I told you it wasn't camping.
What's Tom going over to Highgate for?
Oh, he thinks we should start a food co-op here.
Does he? What, in the Mews?
Yeah.
Well, that's pushing it a bit, isn't it? The neighbours aren't going to like that very much.
No, I know. I told him that. In the road, we haven't the space, really, have we? I think it would be better to squat in one of those shops and start it there.
Yeah. Well, who's going to run it anyway?
All of us, I suppose. I don't know. He wants me to bake the bread for it, I know that.
Did you bake this bread?
Yeah.
It's delicious.
Ta.
She's ever so talented. She made that necklace she's wearing and all.
Did you?
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Ta. Any road, I told him, I haven't the time to bake bread. Well, you know, not lots of bread. Nor unless I give up helping in Shirley's shop.
I thought you were fed up with Shirley's shop.
Oh, I am. But then so Shirley, I can't really let her down.
Perhaps we should turn her shop into a health food co-op.
Oh, yeah.
At least you'd be legal there. Or legal here. What I mean is, you wouldn't be squatting. I know what you mean. But there's nothing illegal about us being here. The council are letting us pay the rates. They can't go on letting you live here, surely.
Why not?
Well, I mean, this is a lovely period house. They could sell it or charge a high rent for it. Or let it stand empty. I mean, I'm not against squatting. Don't get me wrong. But I can't quite see how they can justify letting you stay here indefinitely to all their other ratepayers.
Why not?
I should have thought it was obvious. Lots of people would give a lot to live in this house. You're preventing them getting rent or... We're not preventing them from doing anything. They can serve an eviction order on us any time they like. Yes. What would you do then? Don't know. Find another house to squat. Don't see yourself ever trying to buy your own place.
Where would we get the bread?
We aren't all descended from the landed gentry, you know, Dickon.
I think that's a bit below the belt, Debbie. My family are hardly the landed gentry.
Yeah, I know, but you're not exactly short of a bob or two, are you? Oh. If you got put out of your flat, you could rustle up the ready to get yourself another one.
I'm not exactly rich, Debbie.
Oh, look, stop arguing, you two. It's not worth it. Here, Debbie, get me tin and rollers, a ciggy.
Right.
You still brooding about Lynn?
You don't suppose she'd go back to the court, do you?
Oh, I shouldn't think so. I expect it was just something she said in the heat of the moment.
Darling, it'd be awful if she did. Especially for Jeremy.
Exactly.
I'm sure it's bad for a child to sense all this wrangling in the background.
Absolutely terrifying, I should think.
Mind you, I'm having second thoughts about Christmas.
You are?
Hmm. Well, I mean, if Jeremy wants to go and have Christmas dinner with them, then maybe we ought to let him.
Well, if you really think so, darling. But I feel he ought to be here Christmas morning to open his stocking with the girls.
Well, supposing I suggest that. He stays here Christmas Eve, has Christmas morning with us, and goes over to them for Christmas Day.
Hmm. If that'll please everybody.
You don't sound very sure.
Well, it's not that I'm not sure, Peter. I'm just a bit fed up with the whole business.
Well, we've got to get it sorted out. I mean, Christmas is supposed to be the time families get together.
You're telling me. Charles Dickens has got a lot to answer for.
Oh, it's been a smashing evening, Rob. Do you know, it's the first time I've really enjoyed myself since, since Bill gave me the boot.
Good. Thanks for the coffee.
Oh, you're welcome.
And you're sure you're all right on your own, not scared of funny telephone calls or anything?
No, I'm fine.
I don't think they ever come to anything, these odd phone calls.
No. Anyway, I'll put the chain on the door after you've gone.
Good. Well, sleep tight.
And you. Thanks for seeing me home safely. Right, now I'll just go and wash up the coffee cups. Hello? Hello? Who is that? Who's there?
Sophie.
Yes, who is it?
One of these days, you're going to get what's coming to you.
Who is that? Oh, God, who are you? What do you want? Thank you.